Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
I thank my God every time I remember you.
To live is Christ, and to die is gain.
He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness.
I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord.
I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Turn with me in your Bibles to the book
Philippians, found in your New Testament. Listen as you turn your pages. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, grab one in the pew in front of you and use that. That's what it's there for. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus.
Any of you recognize any of those verses? Yeah. We are about to dive in during the fall, the next couple months, into the letter to the Philippians. And every one of these verses that sounds so familiar, many of them, I would assume, are some of your favorite verses, some of your life verses. All of those verses I just read came out of the book of Philippians. Every one of them. Philippians is one of the most encouraging books found in God's Word, filled with thanksgiving and encouragement and joy. And the circumstances found in Philippians don't dictate the thanksgiving and the joy that we find in Philippians. The Lord does. So this morning we're going to begin our journey through the book of Philippians. I hope and pray that if you're not excited by now, you will be by the time we're done today. For the next several weeks, we have walking through this book. The letter to the Philippians was written to the church, to the Christians in the city of Philippi. And it was written by a man named Paul. Some of you know this. Paul was a missionary. In fact, 10 years prior to writing this letter that we find in our New Testament, Paul was used by God along with a few other Christians with Paul to start the church in Philippi. Paul arrived in Philippi, shared the gospel for the first time with individuals in Philippi, and the church there was started. And 10 years later, this letter was penned while Paul was sitting in prison in house arrest in Rome. And he's writing it He was spurred on to write it because he had received support from them. Paul was still journeying as a missionary, still taking the gospel to places and to people where the gospel had not come. And he couldn't do it on his own. The Lord provided the church to help him do that, and the church at Philippi supported Paul. And so Paul begins this letter to say thank you to them. And in it we find thanksgiving, encouragement, and joy, not just for them then, but for us today. So, are you ready? Bow your hearts with me. Let's pray, ask the Lord to lead us this morning. Father, we are just in awe of who you are. We are in awe of what you have done in your Son, Jesus. Though we were sinners, weak, declared enemies of yours, Lord, you loved us. You sent your Son to live a perfect life for us. You sent your Son to die a sinner's death in our place. You sent your Son to conquer death with his resurrection 3 days after his crucifixion. God, we thank you that we can find life and salvation and joy in him. God, we pray that you would use our time in your word this morning to make those of us who are in Jesus, know him, are Christians this morning, more like you. We pray that you would use our time in your word to convict those that do not know Jesus, have yet to repent of their sins and turn to him. God, we pray that you would use our time in your word to turn their hearts to you. Lord, we pray above everything that you would be glorified here this morning by our time here and by our response as we leave. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen. So, Philippians, we are going to be in the first two verses this morning. May seem strange to preach from the first two verses of a letter. They at times seem redundant as you flip through the New Testament. They seem to say the same things, but they don't. And the Lord speaks through every word of his word, and so that is where we're going to start this morning. So look at your Bibles, verse 1, chapter 1 of Philippians, and follow along with me. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? All right. Let's dive in. Three pieces of truth this morning that I believe we will hear echoed throughout this letter as we walk through it. Right where the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to start this letter, we find first this. Our role as Christians is not dependent on our circumstances. Look at how Paul begins this letter. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. The word servant would have rung a particular bell in the minds of the Philippians. We may think of servant as just somebody that does VBS in the church or somebody that waits tables at a restaurant, but they would have thought servant/slave. Greco-Roman servant lived in their master's house. They were at the beck and call of their master 24/7. And so this is how Paul begins his letter. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. Slaves of Christ Jesus. At the beck and call, 24/7, of Christ Jesus. Now, let's think about this for a second. Paul was a significant figure to the Christians in Philippi because Paul was used by God to bring the gospel for the first time to the city of Philippi. These people were saved because of the way God used Paul. They would have been excited to receive a letter from Paul. He could have started it, Paul, the one God used to plant the church at Philippi. Paul, who was once your pastor in the Lord. Paul also had some circumstances, his current circumstances of his own. Paul was sitting in house arrest in Rome, awaiting a trial that could very well end in his execution. He could have started the letter, Paul, prisoner awaiting possible execution for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, a prisoner because of the preaching of the gospel for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul not only was the pastor of Philippi when it started, he wasn't only the prisoner for the Lord Jesus Christ currently, but he was also an apostle, which gave him authority along with a few others on the face of the planet at that time. Commissioned by the Lord to take the gospel as eyewitnesses and teachers about who Jesus was, an apostle. He could have started it like he started other letters in the New Testament. Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he doesn't. He starts off, Paul and Timothy, servants, slaves of Christ Jesus. These people would have been ecstatic to hear from him. Excited, honored, humbled. Think of it this way. Some of you have had a similar experience to this. In April, I got to hear in person one of the most influential people in my life. His name's David Platt. Some of you are familiar with him. A group of about 10 of us went up to Nashville, and we got to hear him teach for about 6 hours. And I was excited about that alone because of the way he's influenced me over the past 15 years from a distance. And then we were eating dinner in a room before it all started, a pretty small room, and in walks David Platt. And some who were with me may use the term fanboying, meaning I was pretty excited about seeing him not preaching, just seeing him in the room with us. I didn't expect it. Just simply because of the way he's influenced me. He's one of the, in my opinion, one of the best Bible teachers and preachers of our day. And I was excited to see him. These people would have been excited to hear about Paul, hear from Paul, honored, humbled to receive a letter from him. Paul could have addressed this letter identifying himself in so many ways, depending upon his circumstances and what the Lord has used him to do, but he didn't. He started the letter, Paul, a servant, a slave of Christ Jesus. Because Paul's role in the kingdom of God didn't depend on Paul's circumstances. It depended upon Paul's relationship to the Lord. And that relationship was, he was his servant. A servant of the sovereign King. Jesus was in control of all the circumstances. Whether Paul was in prison or free. Later on in this letter we see the words, Paul at times was in great need, going hungry, literally going hungry. And then other times he had all that he needed and more. And Paul knew Jesus was in control of all those circumstances. So even as he wrote this letter from jail, it didn't change the fact that he was still called to be a servant of the Lord, Jesus Christ. Even though he had planted the church at Philippi, it didn't change the fact that he was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ because his role did not depend on his circumstances. Are you with me, church? Okay, so this is so important for us to see because we get wrapped up in our circumstances. And in particular seasons, we serve the Lord and have the ability to serve the Lord in particular ways. And at times, that changes. But what I want us to see here is that Paul, at one time, was free to preach the gospel, go into the public square, proclaim the good news of Jesus, that he came and put on flesh as God, became a human, fully God, fully man, died a sinner's death, though he was perfect, and then rose up from the dead, conquering sin and death, and is alive and reigning today in heaven. He had the freedom to preach that wherever he wanted to, but now he was limited to house arrest. He was a prisoner of Rome. He could have sat in self-pity, going, I can't do what I once could, because now I'm a prisoner. And he didn't see it that way. Church, listen. Some of us are are free to serve the Lord and have the ability and resources to serve the Lord however we want to today. And one day those circumstances will probably change. But it will not change our role in relation to our Lord. We will still be His servants, called to serve Him. Some of you have already come into a season of life where you can't serve Him. You can't possibly, because of resources or time or health, you can't possibly serve Him the ways that you once did. But hear me. Hear, see the Word. That does not change your relationship to the Lord. You are still called to serve Him. You are still as valuable to His kingdom now as you were when you could serve Him however you wanted to. This brings us humility because we see that we can be tempted to think of ourselves too highly when we are in seasons where we can serve Him in whatever way we want to, but it also brings us hope because in seasons where we can't serve Him like we always had or always want to, it brings us hope because He calls us to serve Him regardless of our circumstances. Healthy or not healthy, rich or poor, grieving or rejoicing, He calls us to serve. Our roles are not dependent upon our circumstances, and that we can rejoice in. Paul found joy in the midst of his circumstances, and he found purpose in the midst of his circumstances. And I hope, Christian, you can see that in the midst of, regardless of what season you find yourself in, now or in the future, the Lord has you here and now for a reason, to serve Him. You with me? All right, let's keep rolling. So you see, verse 1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. Then he gets to the point where he's going to identify who he's writing to. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons. Here's what I want us to see. See that word saints there? That literally means the ones who are holy. To all the ones who are holy in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi. You can say it like this. To all the ones who are being made holy in Christ Jesus at Philippi. Think. Let's just transfer this letter today. Let's pretend that Paul wrote this letter to us. And see how this sounds. To all the ones who are holy in Christ Jesus who are at Eastside. Some of you that just went by you, but others of you know all of us well enough to kind of snicker at that a little bit. Like, to all the ones who are holy at Eastside, yeah. Right? And I'm pretty sure they would have thought the same thing if they had heard this for the first time. The saints at Philippi? Those who are holy at Eastside? The Lord ain't done with us yet. We still got a ways to go. Right? And we do. That's the truth. But Paul is speaking of a reality that was becoming true. Those who are in Christ Jesus. Look, he says saints who are in Christ Jesus mean they have placed faith in Him. And listen, if you're a Christian, hear this. If you're not a Christian, hear this very clearly. When we place our faith in Jesus, some things happen. One of the things that happens is when I place my faith in Jesus, I come to Him as a beggar. Lord Jesus, I realize that there is nothing I can do to save myself in my sin. And I realize that I am guilty of eternal punishment before You because of my sin. Please save me as a beggar. That's how we come to Jesus. Take my sin. Forgive me. And He takes our sin. And you know what happens to our sin? Somehow, God takes our sin off of us and places it all upon His Son. And that sin, for those who are in Christ Jesus, is punished upon the cross of Jesus. But that's not all that happens, right? I say this often. There's something else that happens. See, Jesus lived a perfect life before he died on the cross. And he takes all of his perfection, all of his righteousness, and all of his holiness. And when God the Father takes our sin and places it upon Jesus, he takes the righteousness, holiness, and perfection of Jesus, and he clothes us, the Bible said, clothes us with his righteousness. And that is why Paul can write a letter to the church, all those people who are still struggling and battling with sin and selfishness and all those things we battle with, and he can call them saints to those who are holy, not because of their holiness, but because of Christ's righteousness that he has given them because they place faith in him. Church, Truth Piece 2, hear it loud and clearly. Our righteousness is not dependent on our actions. Some of you are here today and you have yet to place faith in Jesus because you have placed faith in your actions. You think in and of yourself, if you could just live righteously, perfectly, holy enough, then you could somehow earn the favor of God and be given eternal life. And it's not true. It's a lie from the pits of hell. You can't do it. Neither can I. None of us here can. Paul couldn't do it. The church at Philippi couldn't do it. The only way to be a saint is to place faith in Jesus. The only way to have a relationship with God the Father is to place faith in Jesus, coming to him as a beggar, allowing him to take your sin, give you his righteousness, and through that, eternal life with him. Have you done that? Your righteousness is not dependent on your actions. Your righteousness is dependent upon your faith in Christ, his actions. You with me, church? Do you see it here? Paul could call them saints in Christ Jesus because simply because of their faith in him. So, our role isn't dependent on our circumstances. And our righteousness isn't dependent on our actions. It's all dependent upon our relationship with Jesus. And finally, we see this. His grace and his peace is not dependent on our actions or our circumstances. Look at the two verses again. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This would have been a familiar beginning to any letter in the Roman Empire, but Paul kind of changes it. He Christianizes it here in verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and who? The Lord Jesus Christ. The reason he says, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and he uses the words grace and peace, is because the only way a person, a sinner, which includes all of us here and everyone outside of here, receives grace is through the Lord Jesus. The only way a person receives true peace is through a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Paul extends a greeting that at first glance may seem formal, but it is very intentional. Let's talk about these two words quickly. Grace. It's unmerited favor. It's a gift, right? We talked about the word gift last week. The Lord gave to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That is grace. Romans 3:23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. A gift, that is grace. It's not something we earn. We celebrate our two-year-old's birthday not because they're the most wonderful human being on the planet at that point in their life, but because we love them and we want to celebrate their life because we want to bestow grace upon them, right? God gives us grace. We don't deserve it. He gives it to us. And Paul says, grace to you. Some of you and some of us at one point in our lives tried to earn grace. We tried to be good enough. Some of you are still trying to be good enough to receive the Lord's favor. What you need to understand this morning is that the Lord's favor is not waiting for you to be good enough. The Lord's favor is waiting for you to place faith in the only one who was good enough, Jesus. And it's a gift to you. It's a gift to you. Have you placed faith in Him? Have you? And we see this word peace. Things are well, not in turmoil, not in war, not under judgment. One of the things we need to be reminded of is that we desperately need peace with God. The Bible in Romans 5 calls us enemies of God, weak. In Ephesians, it says we are dead in our sin, like those who are walking to the execution chamber down the hall. Dead in our sin, awaiting judgment before a holy God. And when we're dead in our sin, we do not have peace with God. We have the judgment of God hanging over our heads. But through faith in Jesus, we can have peace with God. Not just moved from enemy to one that has peace with God, but from enemy to a child of God, right? And Paul communicates all of this in these words to these Christians that would have been reminded of all this truth just in this greeting of this letter. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. They receive God's grace pouring out onto them like a father who loves his children because they have placed faith in Jesus. They receive God's peace coming to them like a king who extends peace over his citizens and protection over his citizens because he loves them because of their relationship with the Lord Jesus. You can have this. Some of us need to sing a little bit louder because we do have this. But if you don't, you can have this. The unmerited favor of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You can call him Father, not because of anything you've done, but because you have placed faith in all that he's done in his son's life, death, and resurrection. Have you placed faith in him? Notice, Paul's grace and Paul's peace weren't dependent upon what he had done or what the saints at Philippi had done. Their peace wasn't dependent on their circumstances. It certainly wasn't dependent upon Paul's circumstances. Remember where he is when he's writing this letter? Prison. He's a prisoner of the Roman Empire. He doesn't have peace according to the world. He can only have peace that surpasses all understanding according to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you long for that kind of peace. All of us need that kind of peace. We can have it only through relationship with Jesus. Some of you long for a purpose that surpasses your circumstances. You go to work and come home every day and you're unsatisfied with your life. You take care of your children or your grandchildren and you find the mundane just swallowing you whole and you don't know where to find purpose in your life. I just want to remind you that there's purpose for you even in the most mundane as a servant of the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ. You long for and need His grace. You long for it and need His peace that surpasses all circumstances. And you can have it in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians, we have all these things. We, at the beginning of this letter, we should be reminded of this and be fueled to sing louder His praises to a dying world and to one another to remind each other of this. If you're a Christian, we should be encouraged. If you're not, you should be encouraged to place faith in Him alone. You can do that in your pew where you're sitting right here, right now. You can come forward and we will walk you through the Word to show you exactly what that means. But however, wherever you find yourself this morning, know that your role does not depend on your circumstances. The grace and the peace that the Lord extends to you does not depend on your circumstances or your actions. Your righteousness does not depend on your circumstances or your actions. It all depends on your relationship with the Lord. So if you have that relationship, we should be standing and singing. If you don't, you should be kneeling and repenting this morning. May you respond and I respond however the Lord is leading us to this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love, your grace, your peace, your holiness that you extend all towards us simply by placing faith in your Son, Jesus. God, what an unfathomable, indescribable gift you have given us in your Son. And we find purpose and righteousness and grace and peace all wound up in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, may the church sing louder of your praises as a result of looking at these first two verses today. May those who are still walking in their sin apart from a relationship with you, may they turn and repent of their sins and find life and peace and grace in you alone today. In your holy name we pray these things, Jesus. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo. And I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind. Kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow.